ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्तु निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनिरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। उपनिषदम् भो ब्रूहि द लास्ट् मन्त्र द सेवन्त् मन्त्र इति उक्ता उपनिषदम् भो ब्रूहि इस् दि वन् सेण्टेन्स् अटेड् बै दि स्टूडेण्ट् भो आचार्य भो भगवन् उपनिषदम् ब्रूहि मे यु टीच् मी मे यु ब्रह्म विद्या what he implies is you have already taught me in the first two chapters but still if there is there anything to be understood after that so please teach me then what the teacher say ukta te upanishad that sentence by the teacher Arnaji you have to separate it after bruhi we separate it ukta ब्रूहि प्लस् उक्ता ब्रूह्युक्ता इट् कम्स् नो ब्रूहीत्युक्ता इति उपनिषदम् भो ब्रूहि इति शिष्यः आचार्यम् उवाच ओके द शिष्य द डिसैपल् सेड् टु द टीचर् ओ मै टीचर् प्लीज् टीच् मी ब्रह्म विद्या यु नो दि उपनिषद् ऐ नो दट् यु आल्डि टाट् मी बट् स्टिल् I am asking you to teach me, okay? If there is anything I have to know. And the teacher, what does he say? Teacher says, Ukta te Upanishad. Ukta te Upanishad means what? Upanishad has been already taught to you, isn't it? Ukta te Upanishad, the teacher gives the answer. The Brahma Vidya has been already taught to you. In first two chapters, very clearly. Then the teacher repeats, this first sentence is in passive voice, do you notice? Second sentence, Brahmim eva te upanishadam abruvam abruma iti. See, Brahmim, see, upanishadam bo bruhi first sentence. Bruhi iti, until the first sentence, bruhi iti, okay? Afterwards, Ukta te Upanishad, second sentence. Third sentence, Brahmim vava te Upanishadam abruma iti. Te, next sentence, first sentence by the teacher is in passive voice. Second sentence by the teacher is in active voice. Te, Brahmim Upanishadam abruma iti. Okay, the teacher said, I have already taught you, Upanishad. Now what is the mantra has three sentences, Radhiji. The first sentence is by the student. Look at this. Yeah. The student asks, oh my teacher, please teach me Upanishad. That sentence implies what? You have already taught me, everything. In first two chapters. If there's anything more to be communicated, please teach me. That is the meaning, isn't it? Then the teacher says, after Upanishadam bo bruhi iti, first sentence is over. Second sentence, Ukta te Upanishad. Ukta te Upanishad is the second sentence. This is a passive voice sentence. Te to you, Upanishad Ukta has been told. Already, the Ukta is a participle, isn't it? So, the Upanishad has been already told, already taught to you. Ukta te Upanishad, second sentence. Is it clear?
Yeah.
This is a sentence by the teacher. Then again, the third sentence also is of the same meaning, but the sentence is in passive, active voice. Okay? By the same teacher. Brahmim. Onwards, the third sentence. Brahmim vava te upanishadam abruma iti acharyaha uvacha. We can understand that. The teacher replied to the student, yes, the Upanishad which you are asking me has been already taught to you. Now he reconfirms the same thing he reinforces, saying, Brahmim eva Upanishadam te abruma iti. I have already taught you the Upanishad. Which Upanishad means what now? Brahmi Upanishad. Brahmi Upanishad means the Upanishad, even though main teaching of the Upanishad is Brahma Vidya, but Upanishad also discusses what? The karma, upasam also, little bit Upanishad discusses meditations also. But now he says, no, I have taught you the Upanishad pertaining to the knowledge of Brahman. So the Brahma Vidya, as with the main teaching, main subject matter of the Upanishad, which is Brahma Vidya, that I have already taught you. So here the question comes, the same meaning is conveyed by the teacher in both sentences, but only the difference, one sentence is in passive voice, one sentence is in active voice. Isn't it? See, Brahmim Upanishadam Abruma means I taught you Upanishad in terms of knowledge of Brahman to you already, isn't it? I have taught you. Te means to you. Te means to you, Radhiji. That A has gone because of Sandhi. Now, Upanishadam abruma. Brahmim eva Upanishadam te abruma. Now, what does it mean here? I have already taught you the Upanishad, isn't it? This is the mantra. But now, why in the first two chapters I have completed it? Not only completed, how did I complete? With even the Palashruti. Along, I taught you the disciplines required for that knowledge also. Upasams also have taught, and also taught you what? The Palashruti means what? What is the benefit of the knowledge? What happens to the one who attains the knowledge? No? All that I have completed teaching. This is the meaning. Now, Shankaracharya comments upon this. Look at this. Upanishadam rahasyam yachintyam bho bhagavan bruhi iti. Now this is a commentary on the student's sentence, Padmaji. Bho bhagavan, my teacher, upanishadam rahasyam means what? The knowledge of the reality which is revealed in the Upanishads is always said to be the secret knowledge. Isn't it? Because knowledge of something which remains hidden in one's own mind, the reality, what is unfolded, subject matter of the Upanishad, what unfolded by the Upanishad is in fact the very reality which is as though hidden in one's own mind as the one who wants to know it. Therefore, it's always said to be rahasyam, secret. Therefore, Upanishadam rahasyam, the Upanishadic teaching, which is said to be in terms of Brahma Vidya, and which is called secret knowledge, because it is knowledge of the very truth as the self in one's own, appearing in one's own mind. And that secret knowledge, yat Chintyam. Chintya means that which has to be pondered over. Pondered over means what? That which has to be understood, thought of in terms of Shravanam, in terms of Mananam, in terms of Nididhyasanam. And that Upanishadam, O Bhagavan, Bruhi, please give me, teach me the secret knowledge of Brahma Vidya, subject matter of the Upanishad, and which is to be, heard, understood, retained, reflected on, and dwelt upon and assimilated. Is it clear? That's the teacher student, the meaning of the first sentence. Now the teacher's answer. Evam uktavati sishye. Sishyam. Evam uktavati sishye. Acharyaha. So evam uktavati sishye means when the student asked this, when the student said this to his teacher. Evam uktavati sishye means is a sati saptami radniji. In Sanskrit we call sati saptami because when the student asked the teacher, evam uktavati sishye, acharyaha ukta abhihita, ukta means abhihita, te means tava upanishad, ukta or abhihita te or tava upanishad. So acharya said, the teacher said, the Upanishad has been already taught to you. Okay? Upanishad has been already revealed to you. The knowledge of Brahman has been already given to you, revealed to you, communicated to you. So here, therefore, now Shankara is raising this question now. It's Shankara's question, okay? Ka punaha sa iti aha. So what is that knowledge? The teacher says the knowledge has been already given to you. But the reality has been already communicated to you. And the student is asking, then what is that question? What is that? What is that knowledge he wants now? The teacher says already has been given to you. So ka sa punaha, what is that knowledge that this boy is asking now? The student is asking for. He says, Brahmim. So there is a word in Brahmi in the mantra. Shankara explains that. Brahmim means Brahmanaha Paramatmanaha Iyam. Brahmanaha Paramatmanaha. Brahmanaha means Paramatmanaha. Iyam means this. So, the Upanishad or Brahma Vidya, the knowledge is of what? The Upanishad, which in terms of knowledge of Brahman, is called Brahmi Upanishad. Anything pertaining to Brahman is called Brahmi. Even second chapter also we have this Brahmi Sthitihi, Pertaining to Brahman, associated with Brahman. So Brahmi is equal to Brahmanaha Vidya. Brahmi Vidya. Or Paramatmanaha Vidya. Paramatma Vidya, Brahma Vidya is Brahmi. Isn't it? Brahmi with says. And that, Tam Paramatma Vishayatvat. Paramatma Vishayatvat means what? The subject matter of the Upanishad is what? Paramatma Vishaya only. So the Upanishad for which the subject matter is nothing but Paramatma. Due to the Upanishad subject matter being Paramatma, due to that reason, Atita Vijnanasya, Atita Vijnanasya here means what now? The one who has already got the knowledge, isn't it? Atita Vijnanasya. vava eva te apart from that knowledge. No, apart from that knowledge also. Vava means eva. No, definitely. Te upanishadam abruma. Upanishadam abruma iti. Uktam eva paramatma vidyam upanishadam abruma iti avadharayati uttara artham. So, the question comes, why does the teacher use two sentences, one in active voice, one in passive voice, conveying the same idea, conveying the same information? Here she says, the uttara artham avadharayati. Uttara artham means what? Uttara artham, here she says, the qualifications required for knowledge, you know, and which has been attained in terms of karma yoga. Attained with the help of what? With the help of, you know, the qualifications required which has been attained, and for which karma yoga is the means, isn't it? So, karma yoga also, the qualifications required for the knowledge, in terms of preparedness and mental purity, and the sadhanam, isn't it? And to the sadhanam for preparedness also is what? Sadhanam for preparedness is living life karma yoga, the discipline in terms of karma yoga, upasana, etc. All those things, along with those things also, and the knowledge of Brahman has been already communicated to you. So he gives two sentences, which means nothing is left here, left over now. Uttara artha means what is other than Brahma Vidya Upanishad you study. Uttara means the rest also. Uttaram, one meaning is answer, isn't it? But uttara artha means the next part of the Upanishad is what? Main teaching is Brahma Vidya. Apart from Brahma Vidya, what else can be taught in Upanishad? Only Upasanam, which is a discipline required for mental steadiness. Apart from that, what else can Upanishad teach? Karma Yoga. Emphasis on the Karma Yoga, and which is again the preparatory discipline in terms of mental purity. Therefore, all this has been taught. That is what is the teacher means by repeating, the giving two sentences, now conveying the same meaning. This is Shankara's explanation for that. So he says, Uktameva Paramatma Vidyam Abhrum Upanishadam Abhruma Iti Avadharan Avadharayati Uttarartham. Okay? Avadharayati means what now? Uttarartham Avadharayati. The meaning of the second sentence also, you know, the same meaning of the first sentence, seen the second sentence, you know, that explicitly, you know, he reinforces the what now, reinforces the idea that everything has been taught to you completely. Two sentences are for emphasizing what is conveyed by one sentence. Nothing is left over. Everything has been taught to you already. Not only Brahma Vidya, also the preparatory disciplines required for Brahma Vidya. Everything has been taught to you. Now nothing is there left over. There's nothing for you to know anything anymore. That is the meaning. Okay? But now Shankara is going to start bringing some Puru Paksha, so make it very clear. Okay, look at this now. Paramatma Vishayam Upanishadam Srutavataha Upanishadam Bho Bruhi. See, Paramatma Vishayam Upanishadam Shrutavataha. Paramatma Vishayam Upanishadam Shrutavataha means what now? The one who has already, you know, the student here is the one who has already heard. Shrutavan means what? Already heard, isn't it? Shrutavataha, the student who has already heard clearly the unfoldment of the subject matter of the Upanishad in terms of Brahma Vidya, Paramatma Vidya. Such a student, again what does he ask now? Bo Upanishadam Bruhi Iti Prachati, isn't it? He again asks the student teacher, the student who has already been taught Paramatma Vidya, Upanishad, he is again asking this question, please teach me Upanishad. The one who has not heard before can ask. But the one who has already heard the teaching is again asking. Pruchataha sishya, bruhiti pruchataha sishyasya kaha abhiprayaha. So now Shankara is raising this question. Okay, kaha abhipraya. What is the intention of this student? Why does such a student ask a question who has been already taught clearly? Explicitly, very clearly taught. Everything has been taught to him. But in spite of, the student is not a dull student, very intelligent student, and who already very, when he began the question, he was very intelligent. We knew that. Such a brilliant student who asked a brilliant question and was taught very brilliantly, who understood everything, and such a brilliant student cannot ask something foolishly. When he is asking, there must be some intention. What is his intention? Why does he make this question? The one who has shrutavataha, the one who has already heard the teaching, and such a person asking for the same thing again, teach me again, isn't it? It is like saying, you know, it is, his Gurhankara is going to say that. So, kaha abhipraya, what is the intention of the student? Sishya se kaha abhipraya, who is repeating, who is asking for what he has already been taught. Is it clear now? Now he says, yadi tavat shrutasya artasya prashnaha kritaha. Yadi tavat shrutasya artasya prashnaha kritaha. If shrutasya artasya prashnaha kritaha, you know, if the student, the question is of the same what has been already heard, is it? The question implies, the question is really for, again, knowing what has been already taught to him. Shrutasya artasya prashnaha kritaha. If this question has been asked by the student, you know, in order to know what has been already taught to him, kritataha, then what happens? Pishta peshanavat, if the question was asked by the student for the repetition of the teaching, it will be like the again grinding the already ground. Pishtam means ground, batter. Our flour is called pishtam. Enaya. Peshanam means grinding. So it will arithyamavaye arithaha ahum. It will be like the grinding of the already ground. So you will not be grinding the grains, but you will be grinding the batter or the flour, is it? So he says here, pishta peshanavat punaruktaha. Punaruktaha means what now? The error of repetition. Ranaji, the repetition, which is anarthakaha prashnaha syat. then if it is for repetition of the teaching, then this question will be what now? The repetition will be useless. Already understood. Why something which has been already understood is to be repeated? If it is for the repetition of the teaching, if the student made this question for to make the teacher repeat the teaching, then this is what now? It is a anarthakaha, it's a meaningless question. It is a meaningless request. And it will have the error of repetition. Redundant, isn't it? Useless. Therefore, what Shankara says, no, definitely it is not for the repetition of the teaching. Okay? He is not expecting the teacher to repeat the teaching. The intention of the student is not making the teacher repeat the teaching. If the intention is for making the teacher repeat the teaching, then it would have been what? A meaningless, redundant request. Isn't it? Therefore, definitely, Shankara says, I see the intention of the student. What is intention? Is not making the teacher repeat the teaching. He doesn't need to be repeated. Isn't it? What is then? Okay, now next he's going to say that also. Atha, the reason he gives is, sa avasesha means incompletion, isn't it? Something else is to be, suppose something else is yet to be completed, Radhaji. It's called avasesha, remaining teaching. It's called avasesha. So avasesha ukta upanishat syat. Savasesha ukta upanishat syat. No. Savasesha ukta upanishat syat means what? The Upanishad which has been taught incompletely, leaving something behind, no, having left behind something incompletely, which is kind of associated with the Upanishad. Which means the Upanishad has been taught to him, but has not yet been completely taught, or something else is remaining, which has yet to be completed. No? You can't say that, no? Here he says, Shankara says, no, even if the teacher has left something without having completed, no, then he has taught this Upanishad incompletely, it has yet to be completed. Maybe we can say, this question has been raised by the student for the sake of completion of the Upanishad, because already has been taught but has yet to be completed. For completion, he might have asked. We can't say that also. Why? Because it has been completed. How do we know that? Tasyaha pala vachana upasamharaha na yuktaha. Isn't it? If the Upanishad has not been taught completely, no, then upasamharaha. Finally, there's a sum, no, that upasamhara means summing up of the whole teaching. No, along with the palashruti. Palavachana means along with the benefit of the knowledge. The most important thing, Radhaji, all the Upanishads, they also mention the benefit of the knowledge, which is called a palashruti. Because benefit has to be always emphasized. It is the benefit which attracts the students towards anything, isn't it? Benefit is so important. What do I benefit from it? Therefore, palavachana means what? The words of praise of the knowledge. It's called palavachanam. The words highlighting the benefit of knowledge or the subject matter of the Upanishad has been presented, you know, along with the summary of the whole teaching, which means the presentation of summary and the presentation of the benefit of knowledge of the subject matter of the Upanishad, which could not have been appropriate for this teacher to present it there if the teaching was incomplete. If the Upanishad teaching was not completed, then he could not, it wouldn't have been appropriate on his part to have presented the summary. And summary, when do you do summary? Summing up is always after you complete the teaching, isn't it? Summary wouldn't have been appropriate. Not only summary wouldn't have been appropriate, and also the benefit of knowledge also, discussion on the benefit of knowledge also wouldn't have been appropriate. But the teacher has given everything. Therefore, it is very clear the teaching is not incomplete. Teaching has been completed thoroughly. Therefore, the question is definitely not for the completion of the teaching also. Look at this. It is not for the repetition of the teaching. It is not for the completion of the teaching. Then if both are not there, then what is the purpose? What is the intention of his student? Look at this. Do you think like this way? Who thinks? All Shankara's thinking. Yadi tavat shutasya arthasya prashnaha kritaha. If the question was raised on the basis of what has been already revealed to him, then tataha, thereof what happens? Pishta peshanavat, like the grinding of the already ground, punaruktaha, you know, repeated teaching, if it is for the repetition of the teaching, then anarthakaha prashnaha syat, then the question would have been really meaningless question. But one intelligent student cannot make a meaningless question. He says, atha savaseshokta upanishat syat. If you think maybe the teaching was given incompletely also, then it wouldn't have been appropriate on the part of the teacher to present the summary of the teaching, upasamhara, along with the presentation of the benefit of knowledge. But not happen now, the teacher has been given, completed the teaching, with the summary of the whole teaching, and what also what now mentioning the benefit of the knowledge. No, how does the teacher present the benefit of the knowledge that he says in the next line? Look at this. Pretyasman lokad amrutaha bhavanti iti, which means, see that line, Ranaji, pretya asmatu lokat amrutaha bhavanti, a sentence which reveals the benefit of knowledge, isn't it? With such statements in the mantras, the teacher has presented what? The benefit of the knowledge. When? After having presented the summary of the whole teaching. Which means the teaching is complete. It cannot be completed, need not be completed. Already it is perfectly complete. Then this question can arise only either for the sake of completion or for the sake of repetition. But repetition will be meaningless. But incompletion is possible, but incompletion also is not there, has been completed. Which means, what is the purpose of the student's question? It can't be for repetition, it cannot be for completion. Then what is the purpose? Okay? What is the purpose? Lok asmat lokate amrutaha bhavanti iti. Now, having this much, you know, this Shankara explains in these lines, he makes us think that way, okay? Tasmat, therefore, ukta upanishat sesha vishayaha api. பிரஷ்னஹ அனுபபன்னஹ ஏவ. தர்ஃபோர் உக்த விஷய சேஷ விஷய அபி பிரஷ்னஹ. வெதர் தி க்வெஸ்சன் இஸ் இஃப் தி க்வெஸ்சன் இஸ் ஃபார் தி ரெப்படிஷன் ஆஃப் தி டீச்சிங் ஆர் ஃபார் தி கம்ப்ளீஷன் ஆஃப் தி டீச்சிங் தென் ஆல்சோ திஸ் க்வெஸ்சன் வுட் ஹவ் பீன் வாட் நோ இன் அப்ராப்ரியேட் அனுபபன்னஹ நாட் பாசிபிள் ஏவ அனவசேஷி தத்வாத். அனவசேஷி தத்வாத் மீன்ஸ் வாட் நவ்? டியூ டு த டீச்சிங் பீயிங் ஆல்ரெடி கம்ப்ளீட். ஓகே, த டீச்சிங் இஸ் வாட் நவ்? அவசேஷி தத்துவம் மீன்ஸ் த டீச்சிங் பீயிங் இன்கம்ப்ளீட். அனவசேஷி தத்துவம் இஸ் வாட் நவ்? த டீச்சிங் பீயிங் கம்ப்ளீட். இஸ் இட் the teaching is already complete. Due to that reason, this question for the complete teaching would have been inappropriate. Is it clear? Therefore now he is asking, okay, if it is not for both the purposes, anaya it's a possible purpose, kaha tarhi abhiprayah prashtuh iti. Then, now Shankara says, if that is the case, what is the intention of the one who has asked this question? Prashtuhu abhiprayana ketpavarudaya nokam enna? What is the intention of the prashta? Prashta, prashtuhu possessive. Prashta is the questioner, one who questions. Prashtuhu, of the one who questions. Okay. Prashtuhu, ketkindravanudaya. Prashtno, abhiprayaha kaha. What is the intention? What is the purpose? What is in the heart of his question? Uchyate. Now it is said here, which means we had to see something is implied through that question, which means you have something is not directly indicated in that question, but something is implied in that question. So now we have to understand the teach, no? What is implied by the student, we have to understand. Indicated is direct indication, isn't it? Implication is indirect, explicitly something. So what is implied? What is the lakshyam of the student's question? What is implied? So here, you can take an example here. Suppose I'm going to auntie's house every Thursday for bhiksha. So auntie tells me, regularly they're cooking food for me. Auntie tells me, the following Thursday, see, following Thursday, we are going out. We will not be home. We are attending some function in our relative's house. This much alone, she says. And he also tells me what? We are going to a friend's house for some function, and they seek your blessings for that function to happen. So please bless us, visit them, and please bless them to have the function to happen well. So she tells me this. Understand? Now I jump immediately and say, of course my prayers are always there, my blessings are always there for all of you, and please go and attend the function, and please give them my blessings and prayers also. My prayers are there for them, convey my blessings. I only see one aspect of that teaching. What is that? Bless them, they ask my blessings, ask for blessings, I gave them my blessings. Auntie also wanted to inform me that she's going. It's out of respect for me, they informed me. But what is implied is, she did not tell me anything about my bhiksha. I did not tell that. But I am not here, you arrange for your bhiksha, she did not tell me. She knows, oh, if I don't tell, so what? Devi Maan, somebody else would have organized. She doesn't even tell me that, isn't it? Which means that I forget, and Thursday afternoon, I walk from here, knock at the door. Then, oh, I realize my blunder. Oh my God, no car. They already told me they will not be there. But I never paid attention to that particular aspect. What is the implication of the sentence? Your bhiksha will not be available on Thursday. That she did not mention. That was implied. Isn't it? Similarly, here also in the student's question, you have to remember, the student's sentence, the question is not for repetition, it is not for completion of the teaching, there something is implied, which means, what is implied here? Always the itching the old Vedanta students have is, we do listen, understand very well, Aham Brahmasmi, I myself am consciousness, limitless reality, I am already free, already free, already free, I have understood very well. I have understood the teaching very clearly without any doubt, but still something needs to be done for me to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Clearly understood. Something else needs to be done for me to claim the freedom which I already have. Some experience I want, and something needs to be done. This is the exactly a question, Radhiji. Something else needs to be done. You have already understood. Understanding is another thing you can claim. You have already understood, you are free. Then claim it. But what do? I have understood very clearly, but something else needs to be practiced or done for that something to have that, so to have that experience. Now for me to claim it. The knowledge has to be followed by something else. Understand? Which means, maybe this is what is implied by this student. Clear knowledge of the self being Paramatma, which itself is what? Enough for claiming the freedom moksha one already has, but still always this is the problem with most of the students, almost all the students, is still they need something more. This is what is implied by the student's question. Something more needs to be done after knowledge. Now he's asking, Kim Purvokta, interesting, isn't it? Kim Purvokta Upanishad Seshataya Tat Sahakari Sadhanantara Apeksha Atha Nirapeksha Eva. The question, what is implied by the student's question? No, the what is implied by student's question is given here. Purva Ukta Upanishad Seshataya. No, Purva Ukta Upanishad Seshataya. As part of the Upanishadic teaching which has been already done. As part of the unfoldment of the nature of reality, the Upanishad in terms of Brahma Vidya, part of that, tat sahakari sadhanantara apeksha, is there apeksha, is there a requirement? Apeksha means requirement. Is there a requirement of another sadhanam in support of knowledge? Tat sahakari, but now jnana sahakari. Jnana sahakari, but now in support of that knowledge, as part of the knowledge, is there a need or requirement for the practice of any other sadhanam required? Is any other means required? Is any other means required in support of knowledge to make the knowledge effective? Atha, or nirapeksha eva, is it required or not required? Apeksha and nirapeksha eva, is the requirement or this no requirement of any other means in support of knowledge after the complete teaching also. I'm not saying you have not completed the teaching. Your teaching is complete. You have given us summed up the whole thing. You have given us the Palashruti also. No doubt or whatsoever in whatever you have taught. But I'm asking you, even after I have understood everything clearly, is there a need for me to practice anything else? Is there any other sadhanam required or not required? Is the requirement for another sadhanam, other means in support of knowledge or not? Apeksha or nirapeksha? This is what implied by the student's question. Now he says, Sapeksha chet means how, if that knowledge, if there is requirement, sa apeksha chet, if that Brahma Vidya has requirement as in support of the Brahma Vidya, for that should be effective. Apekshita vishayam upanishadam bruhi. Okay? Then teach me, what now? Please tell me, apekshita vishayam upanishadam. Please tell me that aspect of the Upanishad, which is required for the knowledge to be effective. If you think there's any other requirement of any other means in support of knowledge to make the knowledge effective, and please tell me that aspect of the Upanishad which is required in support of the knowledge. Swamiji says, and he teaches this now, very interesting. This is the one question which all the students always come back to. Then he says, otherwise, nirapeksha chet, apeksha chet, apekshita vishayam upanishadam bruhi. If it is required, teach me what else is extra required, in support of knowledge. Atha nirapeksha chet, if there is no requirement on the part of knowledge in support of it, then avadharaya here means what? Make it explicit and clear. How? Pippaladavat means Pippaladaha is the name of the teacher, Acharya, in Prashna Upanishad. In the Prashna Upanishad, Acharya Pippalada makes it so clear that you do not require anything else. No other sadhanam, no other karma, no other ritual, no other practice of meditation, nothing required after jnanam for moksha. Knowledge itself is enough for moksha. Who makes it very clear? Pippalada. This student is so clear. Pippalada, Pippalada makes it very clear where? In that Upanishad, Prashna Upanishad. You don't need anything other than Upanishad, the knowledge. Isn't it? Pippalada, like how Pippalada makes it so clear that one doesn't need anything anymore after the knowledge. Knowledge itself is moksha. No other karma, no other upasam, no other sadhanam is required in support of knowledge for moksha. That may you also make it explicit and clear here. Avadharaya. Ata nirapeksha chet. Okay? If there is no requirement for any other supportive means for knowledge, for moksha. Okay? Therefore, na. Okay? Na ataha paramaha asti ityeva abhiprayaha. Therefore, paramaha, there is no other means. Okay? There is no other means required. No other sadhanam required in support of knowledge for mokshaha. This is the intention of the student. The student's intention itself is what? Reveal. No? That there is no other means required in support of knowledge for the attainment of moksha. Okay. The reason is why here he says, no? And here, Yetad upapannam acharyasya avadharana vachanam uktate upanishadamiti. Okay. Now, yetad upapannam. Now, this becomes very clear here. What is that? Acharyasya avadharana vachanam. The teacher's explicit, clear expression is what? Uktate Upanishadam. The Upanishad has been taught to you completely. That one sentence of the teacher itself makes it explicit and clear that you do not require anything anymore for moksha other than knowledge. So till now, what now? See, what would have been the intention of this student? What is implied by the student's question? So what is possible, isn't it? So everything is made very clear now. Therefore, no other sadhanam is required. No? Understanding the intention of the student. The teacher's answer was a teacher's second sentence, no? The teacher gave two sentences. Why? Because the two sentences conveying the same message, one in active voice, one in passive voice, was given also. Now, understanding the implication of this student, and he makes it very clear, you do not require anything other than knowledge for moksha. What is required, that knowledge has been already completely given to you. You need assimilation, is it? That is what is very clear. But this has been finished. Shankara's commentary on the mantra is over. But Shankara now wants to bring in a Purvapakshi. Nanu na avadharanam idam. See, na avadharanam idam means what he says. No, Shankaracharya, you are saying avadan, this answer of the teacher, no, given in two sentences, but the same answer was given, and you say that two sentences conveying the same, giving the same answer for the student's question, makes it explicit and clear that the knowledge itself is enough for moksha. This is your interpretation of the teacher's answer. Really speaking, knowledge is not, of course, Haji is very important, but knowledge of the self being Brahman, identical Brahman, itself is not enough for moksha. This teacher's reply does not make this explicit. That your interpretation of the teacher's sentence is not really, na avadharanam. He says what now? Na avadharanam idam. The teacher's statement, no, is not something avadharanam is what now? It is not explicit statement. It is not a clear statement of knowledge alone being enough for moksha. That is not made clear. Which means, doesn't matter. Huh? Along with the knowledge, there is some other sadhanam which has to be practiced for the knowledge to be effective. It's like without knowledge, there is no moksha possible. But knowledge itself is not enough for moksha. Something else has to be practiced. And this is the Purvapakshi. Okay. Yataha. Why do I say this now? Look at this. Anyad vaktavyam aha. Okay. The reason for my argument is, the Purvapakshi says, the reason for my argument that knowledge, something else is required in support of knowledge. That is what is the teacher, that is what the student wants to know. That is what the teacher wants to say also. Okay? Why do I say this? The following two more mantras, look at this. Mantra number 8 and mantra number 9. Actually, one more mantra, no? 8th mantra. Yeah. The following last mantra, the 8th mantra, again teaches the disciplines and karma yoga. The concluding mantra of the Kena Upanishad, the 8th mantra of the Kena Upanishad, is 8 and 9. These two mantras again repeat what? They repeat disciplines and karma yoga. Emphasis. Which means karma, isn't it? If the teaching is over, again why the following two mantras emphasizing the disciplines and karma yoga? Which means one has to study Upanishad, do Shravanamananam and attain Jnanam. And after Jnanam, and what now? He has to again follow disciplines, again he has to practice some meditation. And for him, this person, even this Nididhyasanam is Aham Brahmasmi, the Nididhyasanam also is what? Sort of Upasanam. This is what now? You had to say, Aham Brahmasmi, am Brahmasmi is something meditating upon the sentence. Understand, it's sort of Nididhyasanam is mistaken to be a sort of upasanam, where you focus attention, the statement of fact revealing the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma is to be that becomes an object of meditation. It is not the nature of the reality which is the object of meditation. Very, very subtle teaching. Yes, I have understood already. The whole, I have aham brahmasmi, I have understood. Now what I am doing, this I am meditating upon the fact revealed by this statement. Which means still, what is statement becomes what? An object of meditation. Which means, it is, I am the meditator. That fact revealed by the statement is what? Object of meditation. But I am not dwelling upon the nature of my Swarupam. Isn't it? Which is, again, Nididhyasanam is a sort of meditation. Some Upasanam is required. Nididhyasanam. Again, Upasanam is required. And again, disciplines are emphasized by the following mantras. That itself is the proof that knowledge itself is not enough for moksha. But without knowledge also moksha is not possible. But this knowledge, after the attainment of knowledge, it needs to be combined with some little more effort in terms of some practice of some sadhanam. In the performance of ritual, practice, the following disciplines and meditation, etc. Therefore, that is what is emphasized and that is what the student wants to know. Proof is what? I am not saying. Same Upanishad is presenting. Please go back and read the 8th mantra and 9th mantra and see what the Upanishad says. Upanishad emphasizes karma yoga. Emphasizes Dhamaha, Shamaha, all these disciplines. So that Nanu onwards the Purupaksha comes. Before Nanu, Shankara reveals the intention of the student and then he himself answers also, explaining the teacher's twofold statements. Saying that nothing is required more than knowledge. And this is why he raises this. Who is this Purupakshi? If you say this Purupakshi is basically a Karmakandi. Purupakshi is a Karmakandi. You see, there are people who talk about the emphasis. They're called Jnana Karma Samuchaya Vadinaha. Samuchaya means synthesis. So, Jnana Karma Samuchaya Vadinaha. And they are not non-Vaidikas. They are Vaidikas who accept Veda as a Pramanam. Such people, the Vaidikas themselves, who say, knowledge, mere knowledge of the truth as the self is not enough for moksha. Karma needs to be done. There is a synthesis of karma and jnanam together alone produce moksha. That is their emphasis. And there, we have four types of views here. There some people who say, so, jnana, suppose the synthesis of karma and jnanam is required for moksha. But there, karma is predominantly required. There's a group of people who say, again, second view is what now? The synthesis of karma and jnanam is required for moksha, but what is predominantly required is jnanam. See, predominant requirement is karma, பட் பிரிடாமினன்ட் ரெக்யர்மெண்ட் இஸ் ஞானம். பட் சப்போர்ட் பை வாட்? கர்மா ஆர் ஞானம், இஸ் இட்? Then there are people, no, both karma and jnanam equally important. And the last one is, no, jnanam alone is the means for moksha. Jnanam itself is enough for moksha. Like that, we have this four views, you know, but who all say, Jnanam has been combined with karma for moksha. Therefore, we don't require any more complementary or supplementary part. There's no supplementary part of the jnanam, which itself is moksha, isn't it? That is what is said here. It's also called, these people are called Jnanakamochevadaha. Vedanta Eka Deshinaha. Vedanta Eka Deshinaha means, is called Prasankhyana Vadaha. Radhiji. Is called Prasankhyana Vadaha. Prasankhyana Vadaha means, for moksha, jnanam alone is not enough. Jnanam has to be combined with karma. So you can say, jnanaprada samuchaya means synthesis. Jnanapradana samuchaya, then karma pradana samuchaya, then jnana karma samana samuchaya, then jnana, then fourth one is what? Jnanam alone is the means of moksha, or karma alone is the means of moksha. Is it clear, Anandji? Mm-hmm. Now, what Shankara has to do now, in following the whole rest of the Bhashyam, now for the rest of the half page, he has to refute what? All these views. What are the views he has to refute? Jnana pradana samuchaya, karma pradana samuchaya, sama samuchaya, or karma is alone is the means for moksha. All these four he has to refute to establish one thing. Jnanam was only jnanam alone. See, jnanam is the means, okay. Jnanam alone. Jnanam itself is moksha. Isn't it? Because nothing needs to be done after jnanam. Nanu. That nanu is that objection comes. ந அவதாரணம் இதம், இட் இஸ் நாட் தி எக்ஸ்பிளேஷன், இட் இஸ் நாட் கிளியர் இன் த டீச்சர் ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட். யதஹ, வை? பிகாஸ் அந்யத் வக்தவ்யம் ஆஹ, பிகாஸ் ஆஃப்டர் தி கம்ப்ளீஷன் தேர் நெசசிட்டி ஃபார் தி டீச்சர் டு சே சம்திங் எல்ஸ். வாட் இஸ் தட்? தஸ்யை தபஹ தமஹ இத்யாதி. ஐ இஸ் கோட்டிங் தி ஃபாலோயிங் மந்திர ஹியர். சி ஃபாலோயிங் மந்திர, தஸ்யை தபஹ தமஹ கர்ம இதி பிரதிஷ்டா வேதாஹ சர்வாங்காணி சத்யம் ஆயதனம். And also the following mantra, Yo Vava Yet, no, the last ninth mantra. So he says, so this mantra, the following mantra, Vaktavyam Aha, isn't it? There is necessity for the teacher the Upanishad teacher is present two more mantras. What is the necessity for the teacher to again to talk about karma and disciplines? That itself is the proof for saying, Narada has to knowledge has to be supported by karma. Yeah. Ityadi. Okay. Satyam.
Satyam.
Vaktavyam.
Vaktavyam.
Uchyate.
Uchyate.
Acharyena.
Acharyena.
Yes. Satyam. Vaktavyam. Satyam. Vaktavyam. உச்சதே ஆச்சாரியேன. எஸ் எஸ் தட் இஸ் ட்ரூ. நோ இட் இட் ஹாஸ் டு பி ரிவீல்ட், த ஃபேக்ட் ஹாஸ் டு பி ரிவீல்ட், தேர்ஃபோர் செட் பை தி டீச்சர். நது உக்த உபநிஷத் சேஷதயா தத் சககாரி சாதனாந்தர அபிப்ராயேண வா கிந்து ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யா ப்ராப்தி உபாய அபிப்ராயேண வேதைஹி ததங்கைஹி ச சஹ பாடேன சமீகரணாத் தபஹ ப்ரபுதானாம். நவ் ஹி சேஸ் நது உக்தஹ உபநிஷத் சேஷதயா. Yes. Now the following teaching natu ukta upanishad seshataya, natu ukta upanishad seshataya, definitely not. Now the objection, the answer is given now. Ukta upanishad seshataya, what has been upanishad? Upanishad has not been incomplete. It has already taught. What has been said after in the verses 8th and 9th verse, no? The following two verses, what has been emphasized is not revealed, said as something complementary or supplementary for knowledge. சககாரி சாதனாந்தர அபிப்ராயேன வா, நாட் ஆஸ் அ சப்போர்ட்டிவ் மீன்ஸ், காம்ப்ளிமெண்டரி மீன்ஸ் ஆர் சப்ளிமெண்டரி மீன்ஸ் நாலெட்ஜ். கிந்து பிரம்ம வித்யா பிராப்தி உபாய அபிப்ராயேன. இஸ் இட் கிளியர் நவ்? பிரம்ம வித்யா பிராப்தி உபாய மீன்ஸ் வாட்? It is that it's a means of the attainment of the knowledge. It is not, see what the two mantras, now Shankara makes very clear, it is the answer now. The Pura Paksha has been answered. See, the 8th and 9th mantra, of course, you are right. In the 8th and the 9th mantras, there is karma emphasized, there are disciplines emphasized, karma yoga is emphasized. The disciplines are emphasized, but these disciplines emphasized in mantra number 8th and 9th are not presented as the supplementary, isn't it? The supportive means of knowledge, but it is presented as the upaya, as a means of the attainment of knowledge only. Brahma vidya prapti upayatvena, isn't it? It is only, it is presented as the means of attainment of knowledge. It is not presented as the supportive sadhanam for knowledge. So, Brahma Vidya Kintu Parambat, Brahma Vidya Prapti Upaya Abhiprayena, with an intention of the means of the attainment of knowledge alone, the following disciplines are presented. Abhiprayena vedaihi tad angaihi cha saha paathena samikaranat tapaha prabhrutanam. So vedaihi tad angaihi cha saha paathena சமீகரணாத் தவ பிரபுதானாம். சமீகரணாத் மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் வாட் நவ்? சி தப பிரபுதானா மீன்ஸ் தபஹா, பெனன்ஸ், ஆஸ்டரிட்டி, எக்ஸெட்ரா, ஆல் திஸ் டிசிப்ளின்ஸ் ஆர் presented here along with the study of what? Veda Vedangas. Is it here presented here? For what? Samikaranat. Samikaranam means what now? For making it proper. Making it proper. Samikaranam means making it proper. Appropriating it. How? In terms of the preparedness required for knowledge. Therefore, it is Brahma Vidya Prapti Upayaha. Isn't it? It is not for Brahma Vidya Sadhanantaram. It is not Sadhanantaram, but it is Prapti Upayaha. It is the means of the attainment of knowledge, which is not as the supportive aid of the knowledge. Nahi Vedanam Sikshadi Angananche Sakshad Brahma Vidya Seshatvam Tat Sahakari Sadhanatvam Va Sambhavati. So first thing what he said, what is the, all these things are presented, only karma and disciplines are presented as the means of the attainment of knowledge, first he said. No? Now he says, Vedanam Sikshadi Anganam. So now either Veda, karma kand of the Veda, or Sikshadi Anganam, the sixfold Vedangas, such as Siksha, Kalpa, Vyakranam, no? etc., all of them. Sakshat Brahma Vidya Ase, Brahma Vidya Seshatvam. They do not have, what now? Directly they do not serve as means of knowledge of Brahman. Wait, what now? Okay, see, Karma Kanda of the Veda, study of the Karma Kanda of the Veda, that is what implied by the word Vedanam. Okay, then, Sikshadi Anganam Cha. And all study of the Vedanga such as Siksha, Kalpa, etc. also. The study itself, study of the Karmakanda and the Vedangas, itself does not directly serve as the means of knowledge of Brahman. That we know very well. Tat Sahakari Sadhanatvam Va Sambhavati. Then not only that, see the karmakanda of the Veda, so performance, that implies, the sentence implies this much energy. Performance of rituals, practice of upasanas, and study of the knowledge of the Vedangas, etc. Which is supportive of the performance of rituals or practice meditation, etc. Or disciplines, etc. All going with the karma, the study of that, and the knowledge of that itself is not said to be the means of attainment of the knowledge of the truth. Then, nor is it said that study of the karma, Veda, karma kanda of the Veda, study of the Vedangas, or practice of upasanam and performance rituals, etc., also is not said to be the supportive means of the knowledge. So they do not become the direct means of knowledge. Okay, or means the attainment of moksha, nor do they said to be what a supportive sadhanam for knowledge. They neither the direct means nor are they indirect means of attainment of moksha. What? Veda or Vedangas. They say Veda or Vedangas means what now? Knowledge you gain by studying the Vedangas and the Karmakanda of the Veda is not direct means of moksha. Nor is it an indirect means of moksha, nor is it required after jnanam. Before jnanam, study of the Veda, Vedangas, performance of rituals, practice of meditation, etc. Before jnanam, they serve as a preparatory discipline. After jnanam, they are redundant. They are not useless, but they are useful in terms of preparing the mind for knowledge. But after knowledge, they have served their purpose in terms of preparing the mind for knowledge, but after knowledge they are not required. There's no requirement on the part of the karma, etc. Because they served their purpose already in terms of preparing the mind for knowledge. After jnanam, they are not required. Saha patitanam api yatha yogam vibhajya viniyogaha syat iti chet. Saha patitanam api yatha yogam vibhajya viniyogaha syat. Even if they are studied together, saha patitanam api yatha yogam vibhajya viniyogaha syat. There can be distribution, isn't it? Vibhajya, you can separate it as what? Separate them. You can study the whole thing together. You can study Vedangas, you can study Karmakanda, you can study the Upanishads, you can study them all together, but still vibhajya, but separating them, no? Separating the vibhajya, viniyogaha syat. There will be distribution, isn't it? How do you differentiate them? This is for preparation of the mind, and this is for the knowledge. You know, so preparation of the mind is required for knowledge. Okay, knowledge is not for preparing the mind, isn't it? Preparation of the mind is required for knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is, so preparation of the mind is for the knowledge, and for preparation of the mind, you need karma and upasanam, etc. And knowledge alone is required for moksha. Therefore, where should the karma be? Karma and role of karma, performance of rituals, and practice of meditation, etc. They are not useless. They are very important, useful, but they all precede the preparation of the mind for knowledge. Even the prepared-minded person should be totally, what now, committed to the pursuit of knowledge. In terms of shravanam, manam, nidhi, dhyasanam only he will be doing. That is also karma. Shravanam is a karma, mananam is a karma, nidhi, dhyasanam, isn't it? Shravanam manam is a karma which had to be prepared, and nidhyasanam is also what? Manasam karma, mental activity. Even then he is dwelling upon the teaching of this, the teaching which is answered through shravanam and mananam. So all are karma only. All these disciplines, but which discipline should precede what must be very clear. There is no jnanam which itself is moksha possible. The knowledge which we mean as the ascertained, doubt-free, assimilated vision of the reality being the self of everything, that knowledge itself is moksha. That knowledge need not be followed by any practice of discipline or ritual or karma. That does not require. It is because you have to remember an important thing here. The samsara is caused by ignorance. That don't forget. What is the cause of samsara, if you remember? Sometimes when you start doing it, you keep going, and at last you start with one point, you forget the very purpose. When did you start studying Upanishad? Understanding it as a means of knowledge. And you know the purpose of the knowledge. Why? Because you know the cause of the problem. You want jnanam for moksha because you want freedom from bondage. And you know the, why do you want knowledge for the moksha? Because you know it is the ignorance is the cause of the bondage. So elimination of bondage implies elimination of the ignorance. And elimination of ignorance implies attainment of knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is the only means, and for that knowledge alone you are studying Upanishad. But after jnanam, why? Because knowledge is mokshaha. After knowledge, you don't need karma. Any other sadhanam is, knowledge does not require any other supportive, supplementary, complementary sadhanam. Why? Because before jnanam, whatever you do is karma. As sadhanam. Karma is the sadhanam. Karma is not, is it? Not sadhanam for moksha. For jnanam, karma is the sadhanam. Isn't it? For moksha, jnanam alone is the sadhanam. Very important. Three words, Ardhaji. Mokshaha is the absolute sadhya for us. What is sadhanam? Jnanam alone is the sadhanam. But for the jnanam, karma is the sadhanam. But this karma again, in terms of what? Performance of rituals, in terms of practice of meditation, isn't it? And in terms of shravanam, in terms of mananam, they're all karma. Studying is also a karma. And mididhya is also a karma, manasam karma. But which karma is for which sadhanam? Performance of rituals is for purity, mental purity. Upasanam is for mental steadiness. Shravanam is for elimination of ignorance. Mananam is for elimination of doubts. Nididhyasanam is for elimination of emotional obstacles. And all these are karma. You know, obstacles in attaining knowledge, isn't it? All these are sorted out. Attain jnanam, then you don't require anything for moksha. See, the thing is, shastram, the problem with the many meditation, yeah, they think rituals, karma is not required. They want only mental activity. They do not want physical, oral activities. They think it's a ritual. But the attitude is so important. Isn't it? See, what happens, that is where Arjunji, in the very beginning, the very introductory to Vedanta study itself, you know, the problem is made very clear. You are the problem and you are the solution. That sentence, you know, what is the actual problem? Ignorance, isn't it? And then, therefore, the exposure to the study exposes your ignorance. Isn't it? Therefore, that your ignorance is exposed. Only then you understand, oh, this ignorance itself, you becoming aware of ignorance itself is a break thing. Now you work only for the elimination of it. If the ignorance is not there, you're free. So moksha requires jnanam or anything else. That is why in the beginning we say purushartha nischayaha. That is, now you have to connect the sentence, okay? You have to connect that word purushartha nischaya here. Even purushartha is very clear, you know, which means you do not think of the artha kamas are all imply karma. You need karma for artha. You need karma for kama. You need karma for dharma also. But for moksha, not karma, only jnanam. But for the jnanam, you need karma. You need all these things. Artha, kama, dharma are required for jnanam. And for that artha, kama, dharma, you need karma. So karma is an indirect means. In terms of preparation for moksha, jnanam alone is required. That is why we say, without karma, no jnanam is possible. But without jnanam, karma will be incomplete. But for moksha, jnanam alone is required. Complete, isn't it? That is why karma without jnanam will be incomplete sadhanam for moksha. Jnanam without karma will be impossible. But for moksha, jnanam alone is wanted. That is why jnanam becomes the ultimate end, absolute end. Because identical. This jnanam and moksha being identical must be very clear, Radhaji. Why do we say identical? No? He's going to talk about later on. Now, why should we know this fact? That jnanam and moksha are identical. Jnanam and moksha are identical. No? Jnanam and moksha are identical. Which means, they're not, after jnanam you don't need anything. That is why in karma kanda jnanam is dependent on the implementation of the jnanam for it to be effective. Whereas Vedanta jnanam cannot be implemented, need not be implemented. For the phalam to be there, karma kanda jnanam requires implementing. If you know the know-how of karma, you have to perform the karma to benefit by that knowledge. Isn't it? Whereas Vedanta jnanam, what is there for you to implement? It itself is moksha. Somebody yesterday, we came there, but I really enjoyed this Thursday classes. It's very, very important for people like me who are busy, very busy, involved work and a lot of problems we have to sort out in life and work at home and children, all of them. It's very, really, I should not give up this class. Somehow I should make it up to come to class. Really, I'm enjoying the classes now. Sometimes I feel slow, but sometimes I really know the value of this teaching. I really benefit. And she said, but after the class, last class, they went out and they discussed how to implement this. Very easy to understand. I said, I only said in the class today, Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. When this is the knowledge means, here what do you implement here? Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha, you aren't, everything Anityam you know using three means. Shruti says everything is impermanent. Shruti says, and your own reasoning tells you what? Everything is impermanent. And your experience tells you everything is impermanent. Now, what is permanent, your reasoning cannot say, your experience cannot say, but Shruti says. And because Shraddha in Shruti, applying your experiential knowledge, and also the reasonable, isn't it, knowledge, and what Shruti says, and accept Shruti, what Shruti says. Then be clear. Here, nothing needs to understand what is permanent, what is impermanent. What needs to be done afterwards. The only Ahamadu they come to this much, not in Brahman. Even here, you don't need to. One that is very clear. Then Vairagyam is something, it's a cognitive change, it's a shift there, cognitive shift. You just grow out of things because you're very clear. Because how can impermanent give me permanent? It is this understanding. What I'm seeking is something permanent, it should be very clear. Then you search for what is permanent, what is impermanent. With the help of Shruti, you understand what is permanent, what is impermanent. And what is impermanent, you also understand by your experience and reasoning. Then you make a decision what? Let me go for the permanent. When your effort is diverted towards the permanent, you are not available for impermanent. That is what is dispassion. It's a maturity, isn't it? Then you know, okay, if that is the permanent, and for this permanent, then what is it I require on my part? For the permanent need not be attained in terms of moksha. The knowledge also, Brahman need be, permanent need not be attained also. Permanent Brahman need not be attained. Permanent moksha you are seeking need not be attained. It only to be attained in terms of knowledge. What is to be attained is the knowledge, not Brahman, not moksha. You have to attain moksha, then karma is required. You have to attain Brahman, you have to karma is in order. Attainment of anything requires karma. But attainment of knowledge, attainment of anything else requires karma. But attainment of Brahman or moksha does not require karma but jnanam. Why? Because what is not there requires karma. What is already there does not require karma, only jnanam. Therefore, you know the value of knowledge. And for that knowledge, what should I do? For moksha and Brahman, I need not do anything, I need to know. But for jnanam, what should I do? You can ask the question. Then follow disciplines. Therefore, shamadhamadi comes the third qualification. This Thursday, yeah, Thursday class, because yesterday the same thing Mitha came and asked me. You know, still, you know, how to implement is difficult. What do you want to implement? What are I have said here? Now you need to do is study Shastra with commitment. That clarity must be there for now. But here, in know, for to know, see, living a life of dharma, you can understand, very difficult to implement. Live a life of dharma. I can understand. Because if I live a life of dharma, I had to face problems. I can understand that. For which, that's why we say pray, worship, and then see the value of dharma all the time. And to see the value of dharma, always you have to remain connected with your, you have to be conscious of your, the purpose of this very living life, living this life, etc. We teach. Isn't it? This, so I was thinking I should emphasize this in the Thursday class. I was thinking last class, Anuji. And now here also, the Shankara connects us to that same thing. These things, yeah, how many ever times you say, people need to listen for some time, then they understand. They initially, they think everything, or repeat, repetition, same thing, repetition. People don't want to listen to this preparatory discipline. They want to go only for Upanishad, the conformant of Brahman, be Atma being Brahman. They don't really understand the importance of these things. And the connections also, it's not something difficult to follow. It's a question of understanding the value of everything. It is not difficult. Nothing is difficult. The difficulty, the word comes only when you think it is useless. Anything useless when you do, even if it is difficult, you will love to do it. But anything difficult you say, because you already feel burdened by it. Yes. You feel heavy.
Self-knock.
That is because you do not know the value of it. See the value of it, then you follow it. But seeing the value requires maturity. Yeah. See, Vedanta has to make you see first thing. What are you living this life for? Only then Vedanta can make you study Vedanta. That is why it's very clever, isn't it? If I had to be made use of properly, then you should know, what should you study? Why should you study? Otherwise you can better go in search of something else.
Yeah.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gabhyo Namaha Harihi Om.